طفلة تمتطي قوس قزح، طفلة.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly broadcast of news, analysis, commentary, and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program features the Palestinian voice, the Palestinian narrative, from a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. This is your host, John Roberts. Today we hear an exclusive presentation by Palestinian expressive therapist Hitam Edelby. Hitam is completing her PhD through Lesley University while actively conducting an expressive therapy program she created in the West Bank of Palestine. While in Cambridge this summer doing her academic coursework, Hitam spoke at a fundraiser describing her program, and we were there to record it for This Week in Palestine. It begins with an introduction by Susan Jacoby.
Hitam never knows on any particular day whether she is actually going to be able to make it to a training session or to a workshop, because she might be stopped by the Israeli army. And the other thing we need to know is that every single participant in her programs experienced the same kind of fear and anxiety. And what the program does is it works, it is so deeply participatory that it increases the resiliency of every participant to be able to confront the harsh occupation that is their daily life. So just to be very brief, to bring you to last year. When Hitam was started at Lesley University many years ago here in Cambridge, she had this vision, this dream, to do a mobile expressive therapy art bus. And very soon after she got back to Palestine, in fact, a fully refurbished art bus was donated to her to use to travel over, to travel to kindergartens in the West Bank. And during that early period with the art bus, she trained 20 teachers in using expressive art, expressive therapies in kindergarten on the bus. And she also worked on a manual to provide suggestions for parents and for teachers to work with children, provided lots of different possible activities to use for children with all sorts of different issues and problems. That manual is still being used, it's still being refined, it's still being worked on as it's used. But after 2 years of a very successful program with the Art Bus, it became clear that running a bus in this condition of intensified impoverishment in Palestine was just not workable. It was way too costly to try to keep that bus on the road. And also, given the conditions in Palestine, the bus couldn't even get to a lot of villages. Children had to walk to meet the bus. So what's happening now with the bus is that it is still a very cheerful, very brightly colored space that kindergartner programs still come and work on that space. And the original group of 20 teachers that Hitam trained are now completely independent using expressive therapies program. And there's a lot, and I'm sure, I hope Hitam will talk about this more, how this program has just been growing and growing organically. These teachers are now using these methods and these techniques in their own lives and in their classrooms and in their communities. But when the bus had to stop traveling around, you know, nothing stops Hitam. She just expanded the program using her own car. And now, instead of just working in kindergarten settings, she is working with a whole range of children, adolescents, bereaved mothers, children with a big range of emotional and behavioral problems, and also a whole other area that she showed people in Palestine that these techniques will work. with children with very severe disabilities. So this program is just growing and growing and growing. Well, I'll let Hitam tell you about her work with Bedouin villages.
It warms my heart to see you all here. And thank you so much for being here and for making the time and the effort. And I'm very... Yeah.
Back at you.
Yeah. Susan said that I never ever know about the date or the time or the minute that I will arrive in the place because of the obstacles, but I knew the date that I will arrive here. I arrived on time, and it was Saturday night, and Kathy and Jan were there waiting for me. And thanks to Kathy and Jean for welcoming me and for making me feel home. I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm going to talk briefly, and then you can ask whatever you want if you have any questions. Or I will start a little bit to talk about the project that I do with women. And unfortunately, Naf, who volunteered in Palestine a few weeks ago, didn't get a chance to see those women because the project at that time was finished with them, the bereaved women, whom I met once a week for almost 9 months. But usually in Palestine, when the summer comes, women stop their outdoor schedules. They want to be home with their kids and to take care of their kids, especially under our circumstances. So the bereaved woman project stopped 3 months ago almost, and hopefully we will renew it beginning of September after the kids go back to school and the mothers have more time for themselves and have more freedom to do whatever they want to do. In my opinion, from my experience, it was a successful project with them, because for them it was an opportunity to breathe and to cry and to laugh and to write poems for their kids and to write letters for their kids. It was an opportunity to say that I can't handle it anymore. It was an opportunity for them to say that here I feel myself. Here I am back to myself. Here I want to be every week. Here I want to remember my husband and my child every week. So I will be back to them, and I will try my best to give them the opportunity, yes, to cry, and yes, to laugh, and yes, to love, and yes, to write, and yes, to paint, and yes, maybe also to sing and dance. With the adolescents in the refugee camp, in Qalandia refugee camp, who I met once a week, definitely I will be back beginning of September. They are now on vacation for 2.5 months. 10 boys who come from a desperate refugee camp, where I don't know if you heard of Qalandia refugee camp. And you probably saw it, or you probably across via that. I call it monster, which is that's just even small word. So Qalandia refugee camp locates, actually the checkpoint located on the entrance of the refugee camp. The refugee camp was there and the checkpoint came. There I work now for almost 2 years, and there I will continue working all my life as long as I get the chance to do that. And there Nat also was with me, with his guitar, and with the boys we played the music, and we sang, and I thank you, Nat, for being with me, for also bringing some happiness and some pleasure and some joy to these boys. Some of them lost their relatives, some of them were imprisoned, and some of them about to lose relative or to lose father or to be imprisoned again. Hopefully not, but nothing is guaranteed. With these boys, I do drama and I do expressive art, and sometimes we do nothing, we just sit and chat, which is okay too. We do music activities, and hopefully next year I will do with them also playback theater. Yes, this is the plan, and playback theater gonna be my PhD research, using playback theater with adolescents in Qalandia refugee camp. This is the plan. So I'm preparing them, I'm doing drama activities with them, and I'm doing improvisation activities with them, so we can hopefully next year, beginning of next year, start the playback theater program. There are 10, between 15 and 16. They all were born in the refugee camp, but of course they are refugees, and they all came from outside. Their parents, they are the third generation in the camp. So their parents were born as refugees also in Qalandia. It's a big refugee camp. It's very crowded, it's very polluted, but they have hope, and I have hope, and they see the light that I see, and I'm going to see the light all the time in order to be back and switch on the light again. The Bedouin group, I started to work with them almost 8 months ago. Hamda, who initiated the program, Hamda volunteered with me with my mobile art car, and she took me to many Bedouin places where I couldn't go alone by myself. It's a conservative society, it's conservative community. You have to have someone either from the village or the community or is familiar to them to take you. I contacted Hamda. Hamda was there for me. She took me to many places and she worked with me. A couple of months ago, Hamda graduated as a social worker from Al-Quds University, and she had a dream. When somebody has a dream, the dream has to become real. I had a dream. I know that. Yeah. I know how dreams come real. I know how dreams come true. But they don't come true just like that. They need the love, they need the support, they need the money, they need... So Hamda contacted me and she said, I have a dream and I want you to help me. I said, Hamda, give me 2 hours, I will be there. In 2 hours, I was with Hamda in a very dirty, ugly, neglected van. She said, this is my dream. I said, this is our dream now. We cleaned the van, we painted the van, and we got some furniture, some art material, and some music instruments, and we started. Nowadays, the van opens its doors 5 days a week. For kids, for mothers and young women. Sunday through Thursday. Some come in the morning, some comes afternoon. We do art. We do courses. The UN also counselors help us. Some teachers come and help. Kids come and play. The young women come every week. The young women who I meet with come every Thursday for 2.5 hours to do expressive art therapy session. And again, Nat with his guitar was with me and danced and sang with him. And they liked it to have a young man with his guitar sing for them and sing with them. So, just very brief, quick evaluation that I had with the group before I came. And they said, Manal said, the van gives me the opportunity to spend quality time with kids. This makes me and makes them happy. Soraya, after I finished the school, I was basically home. Right now, I am more social. Coming to the van and meeting with other ladies and working with these children is so much helping me to get out of the house. I am also learning a lot from both women and the children. Hanan said, I love the idea that we discuss stuff here. Each has her own ideas. We share them even when we argue or disagree on some issues. Iman said, I feel the difference between the beginning and now. Look to what we reached. We have a space where we meet and chat. A space where we empower ourselves, a place where we laugh and get some fun. And here I meet with variety of women whom I never interacted with before. Although we all come from the same village, but occasionally we meet and do things together. This van gives me the opportunity to learn about my own society and get close to it. Hamza, I am a bit stranger. I came from another village. Being here with the group helped me adjust and feel more comfortable. The group helps me to feel part of them. Suar, I left the village when I got married, but I come once a week because of this project, because of this van. It empowers me and I will keep coming. Shadia, the courses, the discussions, the games, and the activities that we make in the van are all encouraging me to get out of the house. I rarely went out. Now I have a reason. Khawla, through the van, I managed to meet with people and organizations who visit us, help us, and do what they can to support us. I am aware now of so many people who are willing to help. Asma, honestly, I come here for fun. I so much enjoy the music, the dance, the games and the food we gather for. Hamda, who initiated the whole idea. I'm happy to announce that I had a dream and my dream was achieved. She said to the group, I tell you this, dreams come true. Yeah. You all can dream. and one day it will come.
Now, just anything you want to ask to Tom. Kathy, do you have any specific question you want to ask?
Okay. I locate where I locate because I want to reach Qalandia refugee camp. So I live very close from the camp, so it could be easier for me to get in. But I do have to go to Jerusalem, also to do some work in Jerusalem. And in order to reach Jerusalem, I have to go through Qalandia checkpoint or Hizma checkpoint. Yeah. Qalandia checkpoint is the monster one, is the most horrible one. I avoid that and I go through Hizma checkpoint. Hizma checkpoint is available for Jerusalem ID and the settlers. Since I am white with blue eyes and blonde hair, they assume that I am a settler and they don't stop me. Except once when I had American friends with me. This was very strange. My friend came from Maine, Al Miller, and another friend from Santa Barbara. They came to my wedding and we went through Hizma and they stopped us and they checked their passport and they didn't believe me that I was never ever stopped there. I said, this is the first time they stopped. But this is the easiest way for me. When the checkpoint is fine and smooth, I am in Jerusalem in less than half an hour. When the checkpoint is disaster, either I don't get there or it takes me 1.5 hours or 1 hour or 1.5 hours. But we are used to it. I close the windows, I put my music, I listen to my music, and I wait. Mm-hmm. I want to reach my point, so I have to be patient. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the Bedouin woman. I see no checkpoint. I just see them. Because if I see the checkpoint all the time, I don't leave home. Yeah. If I think about checkpoint all the time, I don't leave home. Mm-hmm. If I think about the checkpoint all the time, I do no work.
Yeah.
I just clean home and do my plans and talk to my husband. This is not what I'm studying for, and this is not what I was born for, and this is not me. Right, Nat?
Right.
So, wherever I went, Nat was with me, and we both were lucky that we didn't face obstacles. The road, when he was there, the road went smoothly, and we reached our points, and so this is part of our journey. This is part of being Palestinian. Actually, we make fun. Wow! Today, the checkpoint was really easy. Oh. So it's you get used to it. You get used to it. It's not that we accept it. It's just we learn how to deal with it. That's all. And honestly, Leslie, and being at Leslie in the Expressive Art Program helped me a lot.
Yeah.
How? It helps me to work on myself, to see the beauty in me, to see the beauty in the people I work with. I admit it. And to see that, yes, I can do it despite all the ugly wall, the ugly checkpoints. Mm-hmm. I can do it. I can make it. I can't change the world, but I can do little things. Mm-hmm. I can't reach everybody, but I can reach some.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, did you have more?
I think Georgie also had.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to say something about money.
Okay,
go ahead. That's
Georgie.
What kind of support have you gotten from Leslie?
From Leslie? The whole program that I have, the Expressive Art Therapy Program, being in that program and doing what I did and the support that I got from the professors, the beautiful assignments I wrote, the beautiful feedback I got, honestly, I feel that it encouraged me and gave me the power, it empowered me and made me think differently, made me see things differently, made me deal with things differently. It's about art therapy. If I do art therapy with others, I can do some art therapy with myself.
Kathy, did you want to say?
I don't always succeed, but in most cases. In most cases, yeah.
So I just am sitting here full of a lot of very strong feelings. I knew Hitam when she first came to the States at Lesley, where my friend Mary Ignazy and I are both teachers. And I met this Palestinian woman who has such a good spirit, who's in a good mood most of the time. And here I'm like irritated because the orange line didn't come on time. So, like, you know, or somebody did something minor that offended me. And it's this is somebody who has been a source of inspiration to me from the time that she arrived at Lesley, and just has a quality of strength and resilience. And 4 years ago, Susan, Janet, and I went to Palestine. And Hitam met us and drove us all around, took us to all these different places, gave generously of her spirit and her time. And we went to this school where Hitam worked with the students and the teachers. I just want to tell you a story about this school. If they saw her coming, they were like, oh, as if Jesus was crossing the waters again.
And Jesus,
yeah, right. Or Muhammad, whoever.
It was Palestinian. Right.
Jesus? Yes, I know. I learned about Jesus. So, I just want to tell you a story about this school that exemplifies the kind of spirit and strength that our dear friend here, Hitam, demonstrates. So we go to the school, and you know, we got the buses there, and I have pictures on my phone if people want to see pictures of the bus. And everybody, I poured out of the school when Hitam, they saw Hitam was coming. And so I got to talking with one of the teachers. These guys were playing on the bus with the kids, and I went and I talked with one of the teachers. And she shows me the school, because I'm interested, I'm an educator, and I'm interested in the school. And we come into this room, and there's all this playground equipment. I said, why is the playground equipment in this room? And she said, because the Israelis came, and they did not want us to have our playground. So we brought the playground indoors. And I was like, this is such a metaphor for the courage and the strength, the resilience and the resistance of the Palestinian people. And it was just so powerful to be there. And so Hitam was taking us from her home to the school and the checkpoint. We're sitting there and we're sitting there and we're sitting there. And of course I know this is daily life for her. And for me, it's an event. It's not my daily life. And I have to say that whatever love and compassion and respect I had for you before I got there only was magnified even greater. So I have a lot of love for this woman, and I encourage you to do whatever you can to support her, because she exemplifies resilience and strength. And so, bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Mentioning the bus reminds me. First, I had a mobile car, and then I had a mobile bus. Sure. Now I have a mobile. Seems that I'm a mobile person. It's all mobile. But guess what? I think somehow the occupation made us creative people.
Yes.
Yeah. So when the whole idea came, because of the occupation, when the occupation stops people from reaching us, we have to reach people. When kids can't come to me, I have to go to them. When women can't get out of the refugee camp or the village, like now we have mobile library, we have mobile cinema, we have mobile toys and games car, And we have my mobile art car, and we had the mobile art bus. We had the mobile freedom bus at the Freedom Theater in Jenin, also the freedom. So it's all mobile. So it has, yeah, so we became, they forced us to become creative.
Yeah.
Mobile.
Mobile people.
I wonder if you would talk about a little bit about, because as you know, I'm an early childhood educator, and what really struck me very deeply, the first time that you worked with boys, it was boys who had been incarcerated, boys who were 12, 13, and 14 years old, and who were incarcerated through an Israeli military. In the United States, if kids do things that are not good, that they need, they go through court, they go through a civilian court. In Israel, all Palestinians, both adults and children, go through a military court.
Yeah.
In Israel, if children do nasty things, they go through a civilian court. And when Katon started working with, she was asked by actually the UN to work with these boys who were very troubled. We spent a lot of time talking together because it really, it was awful to hear what these kids went through. They were tortured, they were abused, they had no legal help, and their parents weren't allowed to see them. And then there were 10 of them. Katon was told, I'm going to tell you, what, that she could not meet with them without a counselor, that their behavior was such. And I would like Katon to describe that year with Roy.
Yeah, the counselor was there for the first few sessions. After that, he didn't need to be there because they were calmer, they were on time. I get into the room is clean. And they stay after we finish the session. They help me put things in the lockers, they clean the tables. And honestly, I was so sad to say goodbye to them after 9 months.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop myself. I even cried. And they were so touched and a little bit even embarrassed seeing my tears. And I said, it's okay to cry. Means that I love you and I will miss you, and I'm sorry that I can't work with you next year because I have to start a new group. If you're gonna be next year in our school, we're gonna come to the session, we don't care. I said I'm sorry, but you can. They said, we don't ask you, we're gonna be there. So of course the counselor,
what I wanted to also remember is that the reason these kids were kept in incarceration for so long was that they were asked by the Israeli military to become informants.
Some of them.
These kids who were 12, some. 13, and 14, some of them.
Yeah.
And they refused to become informants in their community.
But, at least, those kids are not in jail anymore.
No, that's right.
Not in jail anymore. Hopefully for good. And this is... It's like a mission for me to keep them alive, far from street, far from the checkpoint, at least for a couple of hours when they are with me, because I can't guarantee what they do when I am far from them or when I am out of the camp. But at least I know that with me, they feel the hope again. They do something that they never did before, and they hear something that they never heard before. I keep saying, we have to live for Palestine.
Yeah.
Palestine needs us alive. And I always keep saying that to remind them, if you love Palestine, you have to live for Palestine. Not only to die for Palestine. If you die, you die, you go. But if you live, you do something. So hopefully the message is there, and hopefully they follow it.
Yeah.
So we'll see next year. Hopefully I will see all
didn't
of them alive.
Didn't you do a second year then with those boys? That you did give them a second year?
No, just a few sessions. I couldn't. I had Yeah, I had to start a new. I can't continue with the same because there is plenty. Yeah.
Do you get to follow up? I mean, to hear about them going the
same,
forward?
If I am in the same school, yes, I can follow up. Like the group that I finished work with, I follow up with the counselor because it's the same counselor who joins my new project. So I keep, and I see them, and they jump when they see me. I see them, yeah. They try all the time to come and open the door, but you know. They try to test me all the time. Any other questions? Any questions? Or you are bored?
No, something very simple. Yeah. Susan, you referenced a resource library, something? What were you talking about?
Well, Hitam wants to be able to, you know, Palestine is so impoverished that the schools don't have extra things like this. That what
most
Hitam,
schools, some
what
schools,
Hitam brings doesn't exist
schools.
In the school. Yeah. Right. And so Hitam would like to have some of the materials that she has to borrow. You know, if some kid really could work with a particular manipulative, to leave it there so the teacher can work with that child over a couple of months, that Hitam doesn't have to take it back at the end of the session
to go to the next school.
So but it's having more, the materials that Hitam introduces to teachers to use for the first time, wouldn't it be great if the teachers could then have that to continue to work with this? And the other thing that Hitam didn't say is that, you know, a lot of teachers that she works with call up and say, well, I have a kid that just blah, 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 has this particular thing, this issue that's come up. What can I do for that child? So there's a lot of individual counseling that goes on or individual advice giving. You know, so if Hitam can say, well, this is an activity that really works for this child, is something that she or he can get really engaged in, wouldn't it be great if that child could still have access to that Sam or that manipulative or that, you know, paint or whatever, or musical instrument? But, you know, we need more resources to enable the resources to be available to a larger population.
I had the opportunity for a couple of years before I started the PhD program to train counselors to do expressive art with clients and students. During the last year, because I was totally booked for these projects and for a school, I had to stop the counseling, the counselor's training. Hopefully next year, if my schedule will allow me to do so, I will go back to train counselors. When I train counselors ask for materials to have in school so they can conduct and implement these art activities with the students. Most schools don't have them. Some, yes. The private school, I can tell you that they are in very good condition in Palestine. But the Onorwa school, the UN school, and the government school, no, they are not. So this is another...
But doesn't the UN
have
responsibilities for...
Yeah, but it's very poor. Oh, yeah, it is.
You can see... They're trying to feed people.
Go and see the UN school. Go and see the UN school.
So can you bring art supplies from here? Can we put together some art supplies that you could
bring? I did it a few years ago. It was so heavy to carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I did it.
So then
I did.
She can buy it in Jerusalem.
I can find everything now in Jerusalem. Yes, I can. I mean, 3 years ago, even from the Cape, I got tons of stuff. But to grab all this was too much.
Yeah.
And now we have most of things we need, we do have. So I don't carry from here. Unless I find something that, like the sand that Eleanor, like Jude and Eleanor, the very heavy sand carried once. Now we have them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So you don't need to carry them.
What is the mood? What is the feeling in the places that you're working now?
In the small area where I work, it's a good feeling. If you go out, it's not. It's not at all. People have no single hope that something gonna happen or something good gonna happen. We expect the worst, and it's not getting any better. But this will not stop us. this doesn't stop me. I'm going to keep doing what I believe is the right thing to do, what I love to do, what I have the passionate to do. I can't change governments. I don't do politics. I do art. I love art. I do music. I love music. I do dance. I do drama. This is what I know how to do. I'm gonna do it all my life. Now, next year.
Kitam, these Bedouin settlements, are they fully settled, or are in the
first of all, they are Bedouin communities,
yes,
and societies,
yes,
and villages, not settlements.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the wrong.
I tell you why, because the settlements were built on their land.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like this one.
I see. In other words, where they used to have it.
Like this village, the Bedouin village that I work in, where we created this project in the neglected van. And it's actual van. It was a van.
Yeah.
But it's solid. It's on the ground.
It's stable. Yeah.
And we, renew it and we made it a beautiful project. This village was not there. The people of this village don't come from this village,
right,
from this area, I mean, from this neighborhood. They come from another place where they located in their tents.
Yes.
Bedouin in Palestine, in West Bank, they still live in tents.
They do.
This is their life, this is their tradition.
And
we
respect them. They are pastoralists, they still have flocks.
Yes. Not much. I'll tell you why now. So, the people from that village, from that community, who lived in tents and lived on sheep and they had their animals and blah, 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 Ma'ale Adumim settlement wanted to expand. So they were forced from their neighborhood, from the area they lived in, to another area, and they were not allowed to live in tents. So they are Bedouins who live in stone houses.
Yes.
It's like confusing, it's not the same life.
Yes.
We are Bedouins, but we live in stone's house. So the daily living, the daily tradition is a Bedouin tradition. But no more sheep, no more grass, no more, So it's... So originally they are not from there, because where they come from was taken to Ma'ale Adumim settlement.
Colony.
Somebody raised hand.
Was that Khan Al Ahmar, the town where you're working, that they're going to demolish this week? It's
Khan Al Ahmar, nearby.
Yes.
Same story.
Yeah.
In Khan Al Ahmar, Bedouin community lives there. They have their life, live in peace, far from everything. Now they're going to push them out of Khan Al Ahmar because they are building factories there. And people are struggling and fighting, and we will see blood sooner or later, I'm sure.
Just to share with people, that was also a place. I take students every year, and I took my students there. And they had a playground, because they're very near Jerusalem, and so some Italian diplomat came and said, oh my God, we'll donate a playground. So they came and they put up playground equipment, and this nearby settlement has a drone. Now, I don't know if this is given to them by the government or you just buy a drone on Amazon. They had a drone. They saw the playground being built. They called the police and the army. And while the diplomat was still in the village drinking tea to celebrate the playground, they came and demolished the playground.
What is this?
So
what is
that's
this
why $15,000 is important.
What is this animus to playgrounds? I don't get it.
Because they want them to leave. They don't want them to stay.
Right. And, if you can't protect your children, that's a reason to leave.
Right.
Yeah. How it's different from concentration camps, I don't know.
Exactly.
3 years ago, somebody asked me, I don't know whether was it here in the presentation or somewhere at Leslie, Are you planning to work with Israeli kids, Jewish kids? I said, yeah, why not, but not now. I have no time. I'm so busy for my people. Honestly, but I will never ever have a problem to work with the Jewish kids. If we live in normal situations, if we both live in equal situations, if we both have the same rights and the same dignity and the same kind of life, why not? They are not different from me. I'm not that different from them. Their kids are, could be my kids as well. Why not?
The way it's being utilized in different populations is really fascinating to me. With the women, I can sort of understand where someone and the desire and the need to have community to be able to express yourself. With the boys who've been in prison, who stood up and did not agree to become informants. I'm interested in knowing what expressive therapies, clearly it did something, what it did, and I'm interested in whether there are mega themes that it does for everybody, and then it's specialized for the population. I don't quite understand how all this works, but I'm very impressed by it.
I go with the small goals. The smallest goal that I have with these boys is to take them out of the streets for a couple of hours. Because I know when they are not with me, they are clashing with that checkpoint. So this was a big success, to have them at least for a couple of hours every week to be with me outside of the stones, far from the checkpoints. Second, it gave them the opportunity to tell their stories, to talk about their parents, to talk about the prison they were in, to talk about their siblings whom they missed and or lost or passed away because of many, many reasons. Second, the expressive art gave them the opportunity to see how creative they are. When they sing, when they dance, when they paint. Because expressive art, it's not about a product, it's about a process. It's about a process, about doing it, feeling it, and practicing it, and see how beauty in it. So we don't care whether it's so much beautiful or not. We care about you made it. It's yours. Talk about it if you want. Hang it if you want. So it's empowering them gently without forcing them to be fully creative and having a beautiful product. What else you want to know? What more than that?
And with the women, it's the same kind of thing.
The same. The same. Women dance. Women write poems. Women write songs. Women paint, women decorate the van that it was, I mean, you couldn't see it before. And women gather and empower each other, chat to each other. What more than that we need?
What's your small goal?
I always say the small goal is to gather and the big goal is to create. So we gather and then we create. Yeah. The minute we manage together and we succeed together, despite all the circumstances that we live under, it's a big success. We gather. They come every week for 2 hours on time. They are so committed to the idea of being together. And then, yeah, shway shway, as we said in Arabic. Shway shway. Okay, Nar? Shway shway. Step by step.
The other thing that we've talked about in proposals that we've written together is that the experience of being engaged in doing a process is so intensely involving that it creates joy. So even in the midst of the horror that we all know is the daily life of people, it takes them out, and that experience of joy is in itself healing. That life isn't just oppression. Life also has these moments in it. And Hitam, teaches a million different ways and avenues to have that experience, which is the source of the resilience. Of like, you, everybody's living with intense stress of living in those conditions, and this is a way to not to be liberated from that stress for the time that they're liberated in the process of doing these activities.
It also sounded like one of the first things you said, I don't know if this is true, about the dream, mm-hmm. that this is really helping people to live the dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
The dream about freeing Palestine for some reason doesn't exist anymore. We don't see that we're going to free Palestine soon. But at least we can free ourselves a little bit. If we can.
You have been listening to expressive therapist Kitam Edelby speaking in Cambridge at a fundraiser for her expressive therapy program in the West Bank of Palestine. And that is our program this morning. Thank you for listening to This Week in Palestine, a weekly feature of Truth and Justice Radio. You will find us here at 90.3 FM every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. You can also stream us live on your computer at wzbc.org. We thank you for your time, and we hope you will join us again next Sunday and every Sunday for another edition of This Week in Palestine. And this is your host, John Roberts, wishing you a good morning.